Yeah.
Tawny's back.
I'm back, everyone. One person messaged me and said, please come back. I looked away for 1 second and Andrew was talking about golf. And I haven't listened back to the ep, so I don't know what the golf talk was, my man.
Kevin, what was the golf talk? Did I talk about
Carl?
Was this Carl's fault? Yeah, this is my question. Was this Carl's fault?
Carl was talking about how him and I went golfing once. He was trying to throw me under the bus for doing something with them, and he was like, "Golf safe." Kevin and I did it. I was like, "Okay, thanks, Carl."
That's acceptable because obviously in your absence, it was a real toxic masculine energy took over.
No, oh, untrue. Yeah. So. Impossible with the sweet folks you had. You had a Matt, you had a You Song on the premium feed, you had Carl, just Carl sweet Hassan. Sweet boys and men.
Yeah. Yeah. And me.
And and you, but you know what? The people have signed up for you.
Yeah, they know what they're getting into.
These people are in. Woo! They're in.
God. Welcome back. So nice to see you.
It's nice to see you guys too. It's nice to be back to talk about racism.
It's just nice to talk about racism. We all agree.
I mean, I've been shouting it. I've been going to several outdoor patios on this drive and just shouting about it. And no one wants to engage. Thank you for holding down the fort while I try to get my life together on this long drive to Vancouver, where I will be tomorrow.
Very exciting. Almost inadvertently, not doxed you, but I wasn't, first of all, wasn't sure. For some reason, someone at some point was like, she's driving to Toronto. And I was like,
I cut it out of the episode.
Okay. Oh, you did? I'm sorry.
I was very off in my guess.
I think he said it so confidently. And I'm pretty sure he's wrong, but who cares?
Tawny posted it on her Instagram story, so I thought it was okay. But then Carl was like, she's going to Toronto? That's such a long drive. And then I double checked and was like, oh, I was like 15 hours off.
Anyway, so no one go bother Tawny. Go just be racist somewhere else.
Yeah, be racist elsewhere.
How are you doing? How you been?
I'm good. We just took a slow drive to get up here so we could do some hiking, went to the Redwoods, went to some Pacific Northwest islands. It's been glorious. Lots of nature. It's been fun. Mm-hmm. I got mad at one white man on the trail. I'm not going to go into too much detail. I'm going to save this for the other show because it's not an interesting story. But basically, we were carrying bear spray on a pretty long hike. It was like 7 or 8 miles in a place that we'd never been before. And you go to the Pacific Northwest, it's like, there's bear activity. Better safe than sorry. And this man scoffed at us and walked by and went, bear spray. And I wanted to murder him. Like,
Famous last words.
I saw red. Yeah. I know. I wanted to be why are you yelling at me for being prepared?
Yeah.
Oof. I hate it.
You deserve to bear spray his ass.
You know what I should have said is, it works on people, too.
You both sent very entertaining Why Are You Mad videos in the group text.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I showed you the view from where I was sitting, and it had Nate in it, and he was deep in thought, and I said, why are you mad? And then Andrew responded with his own.
I forgot. I don't know if I've told people, but the new game with the small chihuahua, Peanut, is I just play... Peanut, are you mad? Are you angry? I think I say, are you angry? And then she'll just like snarl. And I don't think, obviously she doesn't understand the joke. So she is really snarling, but it's so cute because she's so small. So it's very, this is my chihuahua game. She'll sit on my lap or my chest and I'll just be like, are you angry? Are you angry? And she'll do a little snarl, and it's the cutest thing. It's hard to get on video because you got to kind of hold the camera behind your face.
That is cute.
So that's what we've been up to.
Nice.
Oh, and then, Tawny, I saw you had a little Twitter thing while you were gone with, we'll call it, a lovely plantation? Is that
the Newsom family plantation. I found it. This is not a joke. You know, there had been, I think a lot of descendants of slavery have these like stories. Some of it feels like folklore sometimes about, you know, from your family members about where a lot of your ancestors were enslaved. And what I've learned is that a lot of times these stories are true. They just might get like the details of them wrong. Mm-hmm. And so there have constantly been clues and like weird stories and discussions from like my great aunties, my great aunt Honey, my great aunt Fran. They would just occasionally like spill the tea about the place where it was and blah, blah, blah. And there was this long story about how the original owner of this plantation, who I didn't know at the time, but he was a Newsome. He had this plantation in outer Georgia, and he was estranged from his only kid. And so he left the place to some of his workers, some of his slaves. And that supposedly is like our lineage. So the idea is like, we would have been rich. We would have had this generational wealth that so many descendants of slaves don't have had this been honored. But however, of course, his kid came back and like, you know, reclaimed the property for himself because he was a white guy and it went to him. Anyway, so that was always a story I was told. And I was looking at that LA Times article about Bruce's Beach. This is like kind of an aside audible.
But there's
a beach in Manhattan Beach, which is just south of LA, that was called the Black Beach. It was called Bruce's Beach, and it was owned by this family of Black people that's where they would allow, you know, Black residents in Southern California to come and swim during segregation. And sometime in the 60s, 50s or something, maybe earlier than that, the city seized it, because they would seize things from Black people all the time and just be like, you can't own this because you're you. You don't get to own it. So the descendants of that have been fighting for it to be returned to them. And I think there was just an article this week that it looks like the city is going to return it to them.
Yeah, it may happen.
Like... Fingers crossed. I mean, that's like worth millions, a stretch of beach in Southern California.
Yeah.
So anyway, so our family story was similar, but nothing to that extent of, you know, money or whatever. So I just started doing some digging because I was like, I have all these details. I have census records that I had applied for like a long time ago. So I had the files and stuff, and I just started cross-referencing. It took me like 3 hours, and I'm like 99% sure based on the descriptions of the places, based on the name of the guy. The owner was Joel Dorch Newsome. I'm like, this is the place that this part of my family anyway had been talking about. And so I just kind of tweeted about the experience where it's like, you know, even before I knew the term generational wealth, there was this common refrain in our family about like stolen assets. And it was just accepted as like, yeah, we would be, we'd be in a different place if we'd had that. And so then I found it, and I don't need to like, look, I'm not trying to put the plantation on blast. That's an insane sentence to say. But I don't care enough to have you guys go blow up their socials. I tweeted it like once, and people went and blew up their Instagram, and all they did was just like delete all the tweets because they're like a winery now.
Yeah.
So I was just like, look, but I was pretty proud of one post that I made because I looked at the types of wines they sell, and it's all just such trash.
Sure.
And I'm like, look, I don't know what the bigger crime is, like the slavery or the fact that you're selling a fucking muscadine and a raspberry wine in 2021, you absolute monsters.
I also really enjoyed it. You were like, I feel bad for the 22-year-old who's in charge of this. And then you followed up with like, never, actually, you decided to work here, so never mind.
Yeah, I was feeling bad for whatever, somebody's niece, the social media manager. But then I'm like, wait, you agreed to do social media for a plantation. So I don't, you thought about this. But yeah.
Don't feel bad for them.
I don't. You know what I do feel a little bad for is that, you know, I have cousins who are younger than me and who don't have a racism podcast where they get to vent this shit and maybe don't like, they're also not comedians. They don't kind of deal with things through humor like I do. And so me posting that told them all this information in kind of an abrupt way. So I felt a little bad about that because I was like, you know what? You guys didn't ask for this on a Monday night. but now they like, a couple of them are kind of fired up and want to like talk about it. But I'm just like, what are we going
to
do? Everything's a plantation.
You opened a can of worms that maybe... Yeah. I mean, maybe something can happen, but maybe not.
What's going to happen is I'm going to harass and clown these people until the day they get off Instagram. Because the thing that I want to say is like, you can be a winery if you were a plantation. I don't give a fuck. You can do whatever you want with that building. You don't get to just be on Instagram. Like, you don't get to be on Beyonce's social media.
Well, and also expect not people to be like, oh, this is fine. Like,
truly,
call it out. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to deal with the occasional comment.
the deleting comments is gross. Like, it's just like if you're doing that a lot, guess what? Maybe your business is fucked and disgusting.
Yes,
like
maybe it's something to think about.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, y'all could, if you really want to dig, you can find my Twitter thread, but I don't need 100,000 of you right now to go blow them up.
Oh, man. I think, okay. Well, the other thing we got tagged in that I forgot, or I don't remember if I got tagged in. And it's not that important. Andrew Yang is just out there. I think at some point in the last 3 weeks, like Politico was like, mm-hmm. oh, this is the most important Asian politician. Or whatever, Asian leader. And I think the thing is that people were like, ooh, Andrew's going to have something to say about this. And it's like, ooh. I guess I do. But it's like, it's just like, yeah, he is Asian people's most important politician. And that is because, you know, we are a conflicted type of, you know, conflicted people. And many of us are fucking white supremacists. And white supremacists will raise up the worst of us. And that's what's happening mm-hmm. with Andrew Yang. I don't know. He also tweeted some shit today as we recorded about how, like, we got to get illegal street vendors under control. And it's like, oh, you're just such a piece of shit. Yeah. You're just like, all your policies are, like, attack people of color. And I would say he might be too stupid to even know that's what he's doing.
Yeah, because I'm like, what is the elite? Also, I tensed up at the word illegal. Yep. Thinking
yeah, yeah,
he was
sorry,
calling the
yeah.
people illegal, but he kind of is because like mm-hmm. you're yeah, illegally yes, yes. vending things on the street yeah. because
unlicensed.
Of.
I think I misspoke yeah. also, but yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, but an unlicensed worker is there's a reason for that, and let's address. Yeah. The cause but for also, that, let's address like how to support them as opposed
yeah.
to.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he framed it as like, let's support businesses who are, you know, paying rent in these times. And it's like, first of all, my man, you're running for goddamn mayor of New York City, which is as the Asian candidate, which regrettably we have to let you be. And it's like, you know who does a lot of like unlicensed street vending is fucking Asian people in New York.
Yep.
Dumbass. Like, yeah. Like, if yeah, it just to me, it was like, yeah. And the reason that is his point of view is because he is like pals around with like rich white supremacists, including himself. mm-hmm. And those are the points of view he hears. And it is racist that and sad that is mm-hmm. the best. Like, I mean, I had a conversation the other week with someone, and it was a little like this person was, you know, they're Asian. They were an Asian person and their politics clearly do not align well with mine. But mm. they were like, we're talking about like, you know, it's just depressing that there are not, like there's no history, not no history, sorry. There's no contemporary infrastructure of like an Asian civil rights movement or leader.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. they exist, but there's not like a clear leader. Like when all this yeah. shit has been happening, right? And you know, I said this, well, whatever. I said this, and it's not meant to be a diss, but it is like not a good sign that like Daniel Dae Kim is like one of the first people that we can look to in a crisis of like Asian people like being attacked. And so it just shouldn't be an actor. It should never
yes,
be an actor.
It should never
no
be
offense to
an
anyone.
Actor. No, no, no. It should never be us because we go to clown college. If we're lucky, we go to clown college. Sometimes, who knows? I guess people can become actors from having a different yeah. background than me. I went to clown college.
But just like as the number one person. Hey.
Yeah. Because, you know, DDK has been doing the work. So it's yeah. not a diss on his work. But it's like, yes, he has been doing the work. But it would be great if there were...
It's just that his the work of civil rights can't be someone's second job.
Yeah.
Sure. Like that is like, yeah.
His first job is not civil rights leader. And
right.
Andrew Yang is just obviously a clown who capes for white supremacy. So, you know, he is a type of civil rights leader, I suppose. But
it also makes me think of like, because there have been actors... especially like recently who have kind of like the activism has become their first job. And that's not,
yes.
I get that. That's not what you're saying here. It's like,
yeah,
this is a good thing to be involved in and to be fired up about.
Yeah.
But it's, again, it's not
I'm
our
saying,
first
yeah.
job.
as an Asian community, the fact that we don't have someone whose only job is mm-hmm. being clear civil rights, leader, even if they're wrong, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
like there is a world where it, if it, even if it is like a, I mean, I don't know, like like, no, you're not expecting someone to speak for everyone, but it is just like, our bench is shallow and pathetic. Mm-hmm. And that has been very, that's the thing that has been a little depressing out of this. Speaking of shallow and pathetic, so there's like a right-wing daily show now called Gutfield. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just feels like we should mention it. It's just, you know, the same fucking racist shit. I don't know.
What, Gutfield is the name?
Is it Gutfeld?
How is that the best name? Right? They've had a long time to come up with this show. What's and the, that's
it's the guy's name? Yeah. It's
who
it's
cares?
Just you sweaty
can change your
and
name.
Pathetic.
And you can name a show anything.
I'm guessing, Toddy, you've been blessed with not seeing any of this.
No, sir. I've been in the woods. I've been in the woods. I did see the word Gutfeld trending, but I think the first person I saw tweet about it was Joey Clift, so I assumed it was a Garfield reference. I thought it had something to do with Garfield.
I think that's why he was the maddest about it. It's like, because it also is like, uses the logo of the show uses the same like typeface as the Garfield like books.
What?
I'm going to pull it up for you.
I hate this so much. So what are their main jokes like?
Well, like
ooh,
all
pronouns.
Like, yes, like literally every time they do a right wing daily show. I mean, they did a 6-year-old Brian Williams joke in the opening monologue of the opening show. So that's where they're at creatively. Okay,
maybe
slightly,
the show's been six years in the works.
Slightly different typeface.
That is like something from a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah. I mean, it is also like, you know, they Fox News also try to do a right wing. They basically try to do a right wing daily show like every 5 years. But it, like, you know, like I've said many times before, it's like conservatives don't have like humor because they don't have like current ideas, because the ideas that they're hanging on to are like, at best from 5 years ago. It looks like there's a new punching bag, but the ideas are the same ideas that they've had since, like, you know, before this country was founded.
And, like, not to get all, like, comedy is, you know, some amazing tool. I mean, because I hate those people, too, who are like, comedy is an elite tool to wield. But it is true that in order to be funny, you have to have, if not a self-awareness, you have to have an awareness of the thing you're skewering. And both awareness in terms of, like, you have to fundamentally understand what the thing is you're making fun of in enough of a way to communicate it to your audience, communicate what's funny about it to your audience. And you have to understand what your piece of that is. So why am I talking about this thing? So you have to have an awareness of self, an awareness of the thing. And the GOP don't work with that. If the GOP started looking inward and outward, they'd be like, oh, we shouldn't be like this anymore. Yeah. This is ridiculous.
Sounds like someone's giving away some free lessons from Cloud College right now.
Hey, honk, honk, everybody. Hop on this unicycle with me and learn some things.
I don't know. It's just like I remember I watched the opening monologue from that last show, and they did a like Hillary Clinton Whitewater joke from the 90s.
Hell yeah.
It's just like, you know, they have no ideas because, again, all they're doing is desperately clinging on to whatever
past.
1918 something.
Oh,
18
God.
Something is when they had their last new idea. One of the panelists was I don't remember her name, but I recognize her face from one of the clips. Was really being pushed on us by MTV when I did the Yo pilot.
Oh, sure.
Because, you know, at the time, a lot of value in diversity of opinion, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm.
Sure, like, sure, sure.
So glad we didn't cast that
Was
person.
This a person of color?
No.
So they wanted a white person with those fucked up ideas to work on this racism podcast show.
It was when it was supposed to be more of like a panel. Uh-huh. So she would have been one of, I don't know, four or five,
sure.
Something like that. Sort of a nightly show ripoff, but.
Yeah. No thanks.
Yeah. Well, you know who else said who didn't say no thanks at the time was your boy Andrew here, because he's weak.
Look, you're trying to get something made. You're
weak
to get
weak something. in the face of entertainment executives.
And look at us now. Now we have our own medium-sized personal
now,
pan pizza podcast empire.
We are the entertainment executives.
So we say no thank you to that. We also say no thank you to Bill Maher. And the nice thing is we don't have to talk about him. He did some dumb shit.
Oh, did he really? I didn't see it.
Great. Even better. I really just wanted to say Bill Maher and then say, I don't care enough to discuss what you've done.
Yeah.
And I think we accomplished that.
I think what I put on Twitter is like the reason like right wing Daily Show via Fox News always fails is like, I'll just say what I wrote because it's still out in the world, which is like, because actual right wing comedy, the quote unquote best right wing comedy out there is probably either Bill Maher or whenever Dave Chappelle talks about trans people.
It's like, that's coming from inside the house.
The highest quality right wing comedy is by people who don't think of themselves as conservatives.
Those are people who are still largely on our side, but just you know, have outdated and stupid ideas sometimes.
Or all the time in the case of Bill Maher. Anyway, I don't even know what he said.
Isn't that the beauty? Look, dear listener, again, we are not the fucking news, so you can go listen to it and look it up if you want. But I just really wanted to.
Yeah.
We've already spent too many seconds on him.
Yeah.
Should we take a break and come back and do some voicemails?
It's a break time. Normal break time.
All right. We are back.
We sure are.
Aren't we?
We sure are. Yes. We took for the first time in probably a while, like an actual pause between commercial breaks. So mentally, as opposed to just rolling through, we talked just about other shit for a second.
Yeah, it was a nice break. It was a nice mental break. But now we're back in the shit. Let's roll a VM.
Voicemail. Hi, I was in a meeting at work. I'm Arab American. And this one coworker and I had been having some difficulties, and our supervisors brought us together to discuss them. In the meeting, she informed the whole group that I was mixed race enough that she considered me white and she thought of me as just like a real person. Well, this kind of validated everything I'd been saying about what she'd been doing. But everybody just kind of like hushed it up, said, don't be so thin-skinned, don't be so sensitive, and she's really good with black people at work. And kind of like blew it over, and I'm thinking, if she can say this about a coworker in a meeting, why aren't they worried about how she's going to be treating other people? I was flabbergasted, and it was actually worse than I'd been complaining about, because I don't care if she thinks I'm white or not. I didn't ever say I was mixed race, and she didn't think I was a real person, and no one blinked an eye.
Yeah.
Am I the one that's not catching everything here, or is...
You're fine.
I'm lost. I truly am.
It's okay.
I'm third generation American, but very proud of being Arab, but this is just... I just didn't know what to say or what to do even afterwards, and I just didn't get any support. She didn't think I was a real person.
Oof.
This
is one of the times where I was kind of grateful for the pauses. I was like,
me too.
Yeah, I was on this ride with the caller.
It's very real.
Yeah.
Oh, grim shit. I don't know if we have a ton of to say other than your coworkers are racists and gaslighting you, and that's it.
And you're
it.
Fine.
And you're not alone.
You're not alone. You're fine. You're normal. Also, this is a small nitpick, but it does also very much bother me when racists and bigots can't even get the terminology right. You're not mixed race. What they're saying is that they consider you white presenting enough, which also doesn't fucking matter. But it is just, it's just so, there are so many white presenting people of color. And the fact that that term is not like widely known, that people are just like, oh, you're like mixed or you're biracial, right? And it's like, no, I can be a whole thing of whatever I am. It's just, you know, it's just that I'm white presenting. So those were the terrible words that she was searching for, that she didn't even get that part right, caller. But the rest of it, I mean, I'd be curious if you talk to those black people to see
just how great she is with them.
Well, it's also like the difference between like being civil to a customer or not being racist to a customer or whatever business contact. I don't know if it's like a that sort of job, I guess, but like there isn't a ton to say other than like, but so what I thought when I was thinking about this voicemail is like, because I am very much an advocate of like, yeah, fucking name your place of work. Like if they're so proud and open about this shit, just tell people, because you have no other power.
Right.
You know, and I guess that is like perilous because you are in danger of losing your job at the racist place.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess maybe at least consider like that's all you can do. Like no one actually punishes people for racism.
And I guess like, I hate the fact that anyone was telling you you're being too sensitive when this person looked you in the face and said, I consider you like a real person. Like what planet are we living on? But that is a tactic that some bad people use where they will say like, basically what that boss was saying is, I am a bigot against people I consider to be actually brown, but you're not one of those, so we're good.
You know, I guess I having been through a mild version of this last time I had like an office job, not mild, it wasn't directed at me. I was like, someone who like technically worked under me was kind of being harassed, and all we really could do is like write everything down. And we went to HR ultimately, and you know, I guess credit to them, they put a stop to it. But they put a stop to it. They didn't like fire or do anything. They just moved the dude's desk basically away from us.
That's true too, is receipts, especially because, you know, if something like that happens to you and you're emotional, even in your telling of it to someone, even though you're right, they're going to judge the emotional, delivery of it. And they're going to judge your memory of it. They're going to, you know, doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
So I write down everything. There's somebody that I've kind of been working with that I have kept every email, every text, everything. Yeah. I write down things after we speak and I'm like, when it comes time, it will not be me going. And then he kind of was just kind of rude about that. I'm like, no, there is a documented thing about everything. And Andrew, when that time comes, you will have to pack your bags, sir.
I keep telling you, Andrew.
I
keep saying, Andrew, you got to do phone calls with Tawny.
Yeah, because
I spiked the wave with my little oh no.
Well, you know what I'm going to spike is your unemployment when I go to HR.
No, but that is, I guess, the best you can do for the caller is like, look, I mean, for what it's worth, your racist coworkers 100% will say, you know, even if you remember what was said this time, you know, write it all down, write the date, like just keep notes like a fucking reporter or detective, I guess. And like, but just write it down. And like, look, the reality is HR is not there to protect you or help you, but you know, this definitely is bordering on like lawsuit type shit. If not there, I don't know. We're not lawyers. Are we lawyers? But,
Check back with me next week. I'm about to have 2 weeks of quarantine, baby. I might get a law degree. Also write down who you mentioned this to, who dismissed you, or even people that were supportive. Like keep as much info that you can about who you told about this. You can even be like, I called it into this podcast. Check it out. Because a lot of times when time has passed, people are going to want to look for evidence of the thing actually happening exactly when you said it did, so that it's not like you're just building up a case against someone now because they've done something bad.
And it's sort of like, look, it's imperfect. And again, this is because like racists are not actually punished, but like it is regrettably kind of the most you can do.
Yeah.
I guess it's not the most you can do. It's the most that we can say that you can do. you have other options that also, we cannot legally advocate for, but
it also fucking sucks that you have to do any of this. Like racism was done unto you, and now you got a little part-time job being a fucking detective making notes and shit. And it's like, if we didn't have racism and like sexism to deal with, and we could just focus on our jobs, imagine where we'd be. We could just do the work.
And it is, I guess, like the reason to do any of this would not, you know, if it's you don't have to make it like affirmatively about revenge or justice. It can make you feel better. And if it doesn't, don't do any of this shit. But it can feel empowering to just be like, look, I'm doing what I can about this fucking racist.
Yeah. And if it happens to someone else, you might be able to help in the future. Yeah.
Just repeating too what you were saying about receipts, like how crucial they are. I had a friend who was in a similar situation, and what she did, which was really helpful because HR was like, I don't know what to tell you. She moved all of the meetings as much to email and Slack as possible because the guy was just like denying it. But then when it was all in emails and Slacks and in writing, she was able to have a stack of receipts, then it was, then the crisis was like solved and the person got in trouble for it.
Yeah. I was joking that it was Andrew, but that real person I was talking about before, you won't get me on the phone with them.
Yep.
They call, I deny it immediately and text back. And I'm like, yeah, what's up? What do you want to talk about right here on this thing that I'm going to screenshot and keep in a folder called receipts?
So that's, look, and again, it's fucked up that any of these tactics even have to cross your mind, but if it helps you, you should try them. And maybe it will help. I don't know.
Maybe.
And otherwise, yeah, you're not alone. Your fucking coworkers are racist. I guess in that sense, you are alone, but you're not alone in the planet.
Yeah. You're a real person.
It's a depressing one.
I know.
But
that's the,
I think the
game,
next, I don't remember what the next one is, but I think it's also depressing. So fired up.
I asked you before.
Fired up.
Hey, Tawny, Andrew, and whoever else. My name is Marcus, 26-year-old black man. And I recently started talking to a lady on the internet about a book that we both read. And I found out through asking other questions that she lives in Africa. This is a white woman. I knew that from seeing a picture of her hand, but that's only kind of relevant. She's in South Africa, and that gave me pause. So I decided to ask her, you know, as a way of screening how she feels about the situation between blacks and whites in South Africa. How is it living there with all the tension between, well, you know, with all the tension in South Africa? And she opted to tell me about the weather. So I guess
get
I want to know,
you gotta go.
Stop talking to her, period.
You gotta get out of there. Yeah.
That didn't quite sit right with me. Thanks. In advance, have a nice day.
You got to get out of there, man. I'm so sorry, Marcus.
That one was not as depressing as I remember it, I'll be honest. I thought
I'm sure she has great opinions on Wuthering Heights or whatever y'all are reading together, but you got to get out of there. You can't do this.
Do normal people have like international book clubs like that?
I think there's a lot of like, yeah, kind of like datey sort of... find a thing you're both into and you talk across the... Look, I just recently got into watching 90 Day Fiancé, so there's a lot of ways to connect over the over the ocean. We can thank Nicole Byer for that. She got me hooked on it, and now I'm like, feel like an expert on international dating.
I guess that makes sense.
The fact that you are a white South African and you fundamentally seem like uncomfortable or unable to have conversations about race, that is a no-go. Because you cannot live there and not have an opinion on it, one way or the other. So you, if you don't want to talk to this black American man about it, your opinion is a bad one. Yep. I'm just gonna, that's a 99%.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I think that the thing that, and it's not at all perfect, but the close-ish-ist analogy I can think of is like when you meet like Germans, they're just very fluent in the Holocaust and they're very... like contemporary Germans, very usually very like apologetic about it and have gone through a lot of thinking about it. And like a little bit, some Japanese people like about World
War II.
Yeah. So it is like apartheid was, if not in, I guess I'm old now, but it was like, if not in our lifetime, as far as the listeners go, like certainly in the parents' lifetime 100%. Like, your older sibling, simply for sure, was not that long ago.
Yeah.
And we're currently, or they, people in South Africa are living through like the direct, immediate repercussions of that now.
Yes.
Not like we talked about earlier. It's not just like the way like American slavery affected like Black people in America today. This is people's
very recent. Yeah.
Parents or themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, exactly. also, you can say, I have a lot of thoughts about this. Maybe we should get on the phone because it's complex. Like, I understand it being a complex thing that maybe kills the vibe if you're texting on like a dating app or something. But a complete avoidance of it and a switching of the topic, that's like gaslighty. And no, that's a hard no from me. Mm-hmm. There's just no way. Because I bet if somebody was talking to a white American, like a Black person from somewhere else was talking to a white American and was like, how do you feel about slavery? They might be like, you know what? This is a lot to talk about right now, and I'm not fully equipped to do it in the
the
grinder.
But being
pensions.
Like, oh, the weather's, what is it, Southern Hemisphere? It's getting cold.
Yeah. No.
She's like, check out this funny Greg Gutfeld clip I just watched.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Marcus, you gotta get out of there. I'm so sorry.
Book clubs. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get on that book club game. That feels like
international book club sounds cool.
My speed.
That does sound cool. It would be cool to read a book that's about like something that's historical fiction about where they live, and then maybe something about where you live, so you kind of learn about each other's past.
Mm.
I guess what I'm pitching is that you learn about the racism of each other's country, because that's all there really is to glean.
I wonder what kind of historical fiction there is in South Africa. I guess.
Oof.
Let us know, listeners.
She certainly hasn't read it.
Yikes. Yikes.
Well, y'all, it's good to be back.
Yeah.
Glad you're back.
Yeah.
I know.
Thanks.
Check out our international book club on Suboptimal.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. I don't want to read. I barely read the shit I'm supposed to read. Come on.
Check out Andrew not reading on Suboptimal Pods. No, but really, thank you to our listeners. Thank you, everybody, supporting us. Thanks for the folks who've been listening to and enjoying the premium content we have at suboptimalpods.com. Andrew and Zig watching anime is a runaway hit.
Oh,
I gotta
say.
You're never gonna be able to end that series because people love it.
I tried watching episode 2 of Demon Slayer last night. I got 15 seconds in and was like, why did I think I could do this?
Yeah. So yeah.
Why did I think this was who I am?
If you're interested, if you listen to this show to hear me be miserable, then boy, have I got a premium content for you, which is the one where ex-producer Zig suggests various anime for me and we watch it. And I largely don't, it's not that I hate it, but I don't like doing it.
Your whole subtext just seems to be like, why? And that's very entertaining for me to watch something Zig loves so much and that you're just like, I don't know why I'm here.
Yeah. So if that's the type of pain you sign on to this podcast for, and for some of you, that is definitely the case.
Yeah.
suboptimalpods.com. You can find out how to hear me live through that. And I will say, I was talking to Tani and Kevin and some surprise folks that you might hear from soon a little earlier, which is many people have told me that they just listened to the watch along like podcast part of it without even watching the anime. So you don't even have to watch it.
That's what I did. I did not. I knew I didn't want to watch Demon Slayer, but I wanted to hear my friends talk. So that was very fun for me.
Yeah. So it's I'm just saying you don't even have to subject yourself to that if you just like parts of it.
I did a Twitch stream last week and there's a few people saying that the best podcast tier out there right now is the fact that Andrew T has one for $100 where he'll consider unblocking you on Twitter.
I mean, that's the truth. There's just no better perk. All we need for you is to, number one, go to suboptimalpods.com. I think I may have already said that. Call in, leave your voicemails, 323-389-7223, 323-39-RACE.
Yeah, If you're already a member of Suboptimal, you'll hear our Friday show, our premium show, Yo Can We Live, where we just talk about fun shit, non-racism, just people thriving. So if you need some of that, that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I usually sneak in some racism shit, not on purpose. It's not my plan. It's never my plan. I would love to not do that.
If you're a new listener, because we got a screenshot of a viral tweet and a bunch of people followed the Instagram account. Welcome to the show.
What we maybe should have said that first. Did you think you were seeing? I will just say, I think it gets, because that screen grab kind of goes around from time to time. I would be shocked if anyone sticks around from that.
Let us
but
know.
You know what? What do I know? Yeah. Did you see us on a tweet? Did you see us on Instagram? Yeah.
Guys,
was this racist?
Something's going on with my computer. It's crashed 3 times in this record, but if you could hear what I'm hearing, Earth, Wind, and Fire just started playing in my ear.
Hell yeah.
And I cannot turn it off because I don't know where it's coming from. So
that's,
it just sounds like very
way
cool
than
outro
what
music.
Bringing.
Yeah, this is better. All right, let's. Okay, 3233972233. Suboptimal Pods. Twitter, Instagram. That's it. We have to go. We have to go. Bye.
Kevin, maybe we should put this at the end. Hearts of fire.
This is Suboptimal.